Blog Talk Radio.
It's funny, I still look for that audio clip of that Randy used to throw on here, which was awful because we are not a wrestling show. Welcome to the show, everybody. Beautiful. Well, I shouldn't say beautiful. Nice spring day in Manhattan. Seth Kamen and Sean Palmer. Interesting weekend of sports. You know, I usually get a little bit bored going into the spring, summer, but we got Tiger. We have amazing soccer. We have basketball. We have hockey. That pretty much covers most of it. Mr. Palmer, how are you doing?
We have a plethora of sports this week. And coming up at the bottom of the hour, if you'd like to call in and talk to Dave Preston, who works for Seth's alumni, Terrapin Sports Network, is on WTOP and Westwood One. We'll be talking, he lives down in D.C. We'll talk a little bit about the Capitals versus the Rangers and where Alex Ovechkin goes from here. The Nationals and whether Bryce Harper has a face after last night's crash with the wall and whether he knows what a warning track is and whether the Redskins will be able to change their name, if they will at all. And Daniel Snyder last week saying there is no way that they will ever change the name as long as he owns the team, which I find a little disconcerting. You don't ever say ever or never. You don't put absolutes in there. And he tended to do that. But on tap for tonight, the New York Knickerbockers are about to start against the Indiana Pacers. Their third game over the weekend was boring, to say the least. I mean, it reminded me of the Miami Heat-Knicks games back in the 90s.
I caught the second half and was, to be perfectly honest, was not particularly interested. I was paying more attention to the hockey. My condolences,
what?
I mean.
Excuse you? You were paying more attention to hockey than basketball. Okay. Where is the sex
because
we all know and love?
Because playoff hockey is incredibly enjoyable.
Fair enough. And the game just started on TNT, so put TNT on mute while you listen to the broadcast.
That's what I would normally do, except I'm at my office. The Knicks are not enjoyable to watch. They play ISO ball with a guy who's shooting about 35% from the floor in the playoffs, being the main chucker. In Indiana, who I think is very good, it's not exactly like watching the Golden State series. It's not a fun series to watch unless you're a fan of the teams.
Well, the Knicks are enjoyable to watch when they play like they did in the regular season, which is passing the ball around. You're absolutely right, and Tyson Chandler took Carmelo Anthony to task and said, by the way, 3-0 Indiana. Lance Stephenson was a three-point bucket. But Tyson Chandler took Carmelo to task and saying, why are we shooting all these shots or ISO and we're not passing the ball around? He's got a legitimate complaint. Granted, J.R. Smith hasn't helped the cause. I think he's shooting 0 for 120 in the series.
I think it's more like 3 for 116, but that's the idea. It's not an enjoyable series. So I actually caught the end of, and I'm not saying this to bust your balls, the end of a closer than anticipated Penguins-Islanders series.
Yeah, we'll touch about that later on in the half hour because, I mean, we should address all of basketball before moving on to the Islanders, and I do appreciate the compliment because my voice did come through, but we'll talk about that in a little bit. Let's go on to your favorite playoff team, the Golden State Warriors, showing a lot of heart, and more importantly, Stephon Curry showing a lot of basketball along with Klay Thompson. They may very well be the best shooting backcourt in history.
Well, I'm not really willing to go quite there. But they're a lot of fun to watch. And in a playoff that has not really been that enjoyable from an aesthetic view, I mean, Miami-Chicago is certainly not pretty. That series is over. Memphis, while extraordinarily effective, is not pretty to watch. And Oklahoma City, who their number two scorer is 56 years old at this point, as much credit as Sam Presti gets, it's got to be devastating to see what James Harden is doing, is done down in Houston compared to what Serge Ibaka has done in Oklahoma City. You have three series that are really not very enjoyable to watch.
Well,
and
how often is playoff basketball actually enjoyable to watch? I mean, playoff basketball is not the run and gun game. It is the slow down, play on the block game. We've done this how many times in the past? I mean, I don't think that playoff basketball, unlike playoff hockey, is enjoyable to watch at all.
I think that's fair. It's not as enjoyable as regular season basketball. In regular season basketball, as my listeners know, and Sean has constantly reminded them, it's too long for me to watch over a season. I don't have the attention span. But the games, you know, the teams are not particularly competitive. Although the Knicks-Pacers is competitive. But Miami-Chicago's entire team is in quarantine. Without Derrick Rose coming back, well, dang. Nate Robinson was 0 for 12 last night. Taj Gibson's still hurt. I mean, they're just too beat up. And Oklahoma City without Westbrook just isn't good enough in a tough Western Conference.
Is this the end of yours and my San Antonio Spurs, or do you see them making a comeback in the series? I mean, they're down at this point 2-1.
No, they're not. It's 2-1.
Oh, it's 2-2, right?
And they were winning 2-1. Golden State actually won game 4.
2-2. 2-2. But do you feel that I feel like all the momentum has gone to Golden State. Every single game, Golden State could have won.
3 of the 4, they could have won. They should have won game 1. I don't know. I still think San Antonio's got a very, very good chance. I think it's a 50-50 at this point. They have 2 of the 3 games at home. They have the bet as good as Bogut was. They still have Tim Duncan, who has looked very good in this playoff series. Ginobili has been inconsistent, to say the least. But they are deeper. Golden State only really goes 7 deep. It's kind of strange seeing Andres Biedrin's play, considering he hasn't played since 2009.
Well, Andres Biedrin shoots a free throw only better than me. So, I mean, that doesn't say very much. I think he shoots 39% from the free throw line.
Yeah, he
kind of deplorable. He shoots J.R. Smith's percentage from the field goal from the free throw line.
Well, except that J.R. Smith isn't even shooting 39% from the floor in the playoffs. He's shooting about 3.9% from the floor. I think it's the most interesting and most fun, both interesting and fun series to watch. My gut is, I don't know. I don't really have a gut feeling on it. We know
it's the most fun because they're scoring in the hundreds where
right.
Nobody else is. So, I mean, and both teams are scoring in the hundreds, and they've gone to overtime a couple of times. I mean, it's, by the way, the Knicks just took a timeout, 7-11 left in the first quarter, down 11-3.
Woo-hoo!
And have missed four jump shots. So, yeah.
I'm on 30 seconds away. So, but either regardless, I think it's a toss up. I really do.
Okay. I mean, Dwayne Wade getting hurt, does that have any impact on that series going forward for the Heat?
No.
You feel that they are
not on the Chicago series. The Chicago series ends tomorrow night. Playing Indiana, yeah. Indiana will still be a marked underdog, but they are big and strong. In two ways that you can hurt Miami, and hurt is relative, they're 43-3 in their last 46, is to beat them up or to have great point guard play, which is why I think Memphis is the most dangerous matchup for them, because they go deep, they go big with Gasol and Randolph, and they go point guard with Mike Conley, who's pretty much breaking out post Rudy Gay in Memphis. Indiana doesn't really have either to the degree I think that can hurt Hibbert, although he was very good in game 3, has been inconsistent this year. George Hill is a nice point guard, but not an upper echelon point guard. The Knicks, although they took a couple games during the regular season, I don't think would be competitive in the playoffs against them. Did you just get disconnected?
I got disconnected, and I'm back on. But So I was listening to your diatribe, which is very well-founded, by the way.
Thank you.
But I was listening to it. And
is diatribe our LSAT word of the day?
Or soliloquy, one of the two.
Fair enough.
I did like it. I do think that the Pacers, you want to see some ugly basketball. I think you're going to get incredibly ugly basketball if the Pacers play the Heat. I mean, I think you're going to slow down the Heat. I think Paul George, if there's a person in the NBA that can guard LeBron, and I'm not saying he can fully guard LeBron, but who can slow him down, I think Paul George is that guy. Paul George is both long, very fast, very quick, and very athletic. And I think that he would be the, quote, LeBron stopper, for lack of a better term. If Dwayne Wade is hurt and Hibbert is on Bosch, I mean, really, you got to look at Indiana, I wouldn't say as a favorite, but as a very tough matchup in that series.
Yeah, no, it's not. It's the worst Eastern Conference matchup they could have. And if anyone wants to talk about this, I should say, call in 760-283-0846 or talk anything else, sports in the next 45 minutes. But it should be, you know, Indiana has to still get through the Knicks. And while as bad as the Knicks have been, the series is only 2-1. So let's not get ahead of ourselves.
As a Knickerbocker fan, I am certainly not getting ahead of myself by proclaiming the Pacers in the finals or in the Eastern Conference finals. But that being said, the Knicks are playing, well, they just forced this turnover, but the Knicks are playing and they just gave the ball away. And Indiana just had another turnover.
Can we stop doing the play-by-play, considering I'm on 30-second delay?
Wow, remnants of Mario Chalmers. Bang! Anyway, for those that do not know, my co-host and I were talking on IM during the Memphis-Kansas title game, and I did not realize at the time that Seth was probably 8 to 10 seconds behind me while I was watching the game. And when Mario Chalmers hit his three-pointer, I said, holy, use the expletive in there, type that out. And Seth goes, what? And then he sees the three-pointer. So,
and then my response was, expletive you, expletive you, expletive you.
And that wasn't the first or last time he has said that.
No. Not even remotely.
That being said, so that's where that comes from. But anyway, no, I'm not counting the Knickerbockers out, but the way that they are playing, they not only won't win, but they should win. They're just playing absolutely befuggly ball. And I find it very interesting seeing how the Knicks changed the way that they played throughout the regular season to now. I mean, during the regular season, they weren't as ISO. I mean, ISO being, for those that do not understand what ISO means, it means a one-on-one play where Carmelo Anthony would take the ball on the elbow or up on the three-point line and say, everybody get out of the way. And Michael Jordan used to do this too before they won their first title. And look where he got. So the question is, at this point, let me ask you this. Do you believe that with Carmelo Anthony as a number one, a team can win an NBA title? I'm not talking about these Knicks. I'm saying any team.
It would depend on the caliber of a number two. If you you would have to have, and I was never the biggest fan of him, but a guy like a Pippen who could legitimately be considered a top 10 to 12 10 player in the league as your number two. You couldn't get by with, you would need a Wade level, a Westbrook level, you know, probably even higher than a Westbrook level.
Well, isn't that consistent? Let me ask this question then. Of the teams that are still left in the playoffs, can it be said that Carmelo has the worst number two?
Yeah.
I mean that as nicely as possible, but I mean, you look at Golden State. And
actually, no. Oklahoma City right now has the worst number.
Well,
two.
I mean, right now, and Oklahoma City probably won't get past this round because
right.
of that, right?
Yes.
I mean, if you're playing that game, wow, Paul George is good, except he just coughed up the ball. I mean, you take away Westbrook, and you're in the similar situation that Carmelo's in.
They're much worse.
Really? You think so?
Oh, you have. Let's look at this Knicks team. You have a center who is an all-star. Now,
you
again,
a
not
center
a great,
who's an all-star. Go ahead.
Not a great scorer, but
yeah,
an all-star.
That's Ibaka. I mean, that's the same guy, right? Chandler Ibaka, same guy.
I think Chandler at this point is better than Ibaka, but
okay.
I'm not a big Ibaka guy.
As we know. And I know going from there, I would give the credit to probably the Knicks because you got Felton and you got J.R. Smith. I think I would probably take Ibaka over Chandler for his offensive ability. I think, and I pointed this out to the people that I was watching the game with on Saturday, the Knicks have three people on the court that can score at any one time. Aside from that, they have nobody that can. The other two guys are just black holes. I mean, Tyson Chandler won't shoot anything that's not a dunk, although he did have a 19-footer on Saturday. But other than that, he does not shoot anything if not within 2 feet of the key. So let's go there. So he generally is the high post screen, and he gives the ball back to whoever he just took the ball from. He reminds me of Mark Eaton back in the Utah Jazz days, where all he is for John Stockton to give him the ball so he can give it back so he can have more dribbles. Yeah, I'm watching it right now. Tyson Chandler at the high post, pick and roll. Doesn't roll to the basket. And then you have Jason Kidd, where all Jason Kidd does, or Pablo Prinzbioni, all they do is just shoot threes. So they just stand out there. And they're black holes, too, when it comes time for crunch time, because people are guarding them. So I have a problem that the Knicks generally have 40% of their team not going to score at all. Unless you have a Michael Jordan and a Scottie Pippen and a Horace Grant, well, not really Horace Grant, Tony Kukoc, where you can absorb a Dennis Rodman, I don't see that working for anybody.
Well, and the problem is the Knicks, you know, Amari is, we don't know what to, you know, Amari's kind of is out of the rotation. And although he doesn't fit the ISO game particularly well, he does have a scoring touch unmatched by anyone other than short of Carmelo on the team. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, neither, as I said, I don't think Indiana is good enough to beat Miami. I'm positive New York's not. Now, I mean, as most of you guys know, I'm not a big New York backer anyway. And I've caught,
oh, we got that.
We've caught a little bit of grief in that regard. But I think the Knicks have had a good season. And you know, if they make the conference final, I think that's a fantastic season for them.
Is the Knicks season a success if they don't make the conference finals?
Yes.
You think so?
I do.
See, I don't. I think they need to make the conference finals for it to be a success, even more so because of the pending free agents that they have. And the fact that this team is this team. They're not, unless they re-sign J.R. Smith, where other teams can sign him for a whole lot more money than the Knicks can. This is the team that's coming back next year. They don't have any places to put people. They don't have a first-round pick. I don't believe – no, they do. I'm sorry, they do. It'll be in the 20s. So if they're looking for a player, it will probably be – what was Kansas's center's name?
Jeff Whitney,
that type of player. Which is not a starter. I mean, Jeff Whitney is not going to start in the NBA. I think he'll be a good player as far as like a backup role. He's not starting in the NBA. And that's it. That's the only addition they're going to have next year because they definitely don't have a second-round pick, and they have no money under the cap.
But we knew this. So, we knew this a year ago. You know, this team, almost similarly to the Nets, is not built. They're built to be competitive. They're not built to be a champion at this point. And you knew that.
Wait, but how many teams are built? You throw that around. How many teams are built to be champions? Two?
Well, no. I disagree. Miami, obviously. The Celtics.
Okay, Miami. Because they're the best player on the planet.
Yes. And but also the best, you know, a top 10 supporting guy and a top 20 supporting guy.
Okay.
You know,
how many other teams factor into that?
Well, when you look at the salary, you have Houston, who's $30 million under the cap. Whatever, you know the
right.
cap number better than I do. If they, you know,
right.
they have a bona fide star in Harden, they have
okay.
decent supporting. If they can get a Dwight Howard or whoever, you know, then they get interesting. Oklahoma City, if healthy, is built.
Yeah,
that
but
way.
These teams. What? But these teams are not. You're saying the difference between mediocrity and built for a championship, right? That's. Your difference,
the,
right?
The difference to me is this. If your team is fully is capped out,
right?
Can you win a championship with your team capped out how as it is? If you're
Are you talking the Knicks or any team?
I'm talking any team.
Okay, can the Lakers win a championship capped out?
Not with this team, no.
Let's assume they trade Gasol and get a Kevin Garnett. Can they win the championship?
No.
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 Okay.
They have no bench.
I kind of. What's that?
They have no bench. They have no depth. We don't know
I
how much.
I'm trying to figure out. The Heat are supposedly built for a championship, and I'm trying to figure out where the bench is on the Heat.
There isn't any, to be fair. You have a bunch of you have a bunch of veteran role players. Yeah, it's a fair point.
I mean, that's been the point about the Heat the whole time, right? Is that if they get one injury, say they were Dwayne Wade, and then Battier has to play in the starting lineup, their bench is gone.
Yes.
So can they withstand that? And the chances are they probably could.
Yeah, they probably could or they probably could or couldn't. Probably could or could not.
I don't think they could.
I
think if Dwayne Wade is out for an entire series against Indiana, they lose.
I think so too, but I wouldn't write them off. And that's why I'm assuming they bench Wade tomorrow night.
I would agree with that.
Yeah. You know,
but I guess the point is, you're talking about built for a championship, and you're saying you need a top 10 player, which are only 10 of.
I agree.
And then you need a top 20 player, which are only 10 more of. And you want them on the same team with a supporting cast, guess what? There's only one team that has that.
But I disagree.
Maybe two, and you just told me one of them can't win the championship.
I said one can't win it this year. I know Oklahoma can't win it without Westbrook.
No. I was talking about the Lakers. I think the Lakers have a top 10 and a top 20 player. Maybe two top 20 players.
Well, San Antonio has a bunch of top 20 players.
Right,
well,
but no top 10 player.
No, Parker's at probably 10 to 20. But their supporting cast is so good. Just
right,
that, you
but
know,
I'm trying to play into your built-for-a-championship concept. And I understand that San Antonio probably rocks the boat. I get that. But I don't see any other team that fulfills the top 10 plus a top 20 plus a good supporting cast team. And I understand that you're saying that Houston may do that.
Well, how about the Clippers?
So Chris Paul is your top 10 player. Blake Griffin's your top 20 player. So you're considering them built for a championship.
I think, they had an awful matchup against Memphis. And I think Memphis,
yeah.
although they don't have a top 10 player, you know, Randolph, Gasol, and Conley
player.
Are all border or kind of in that all borderline. It's not definitive. You know, I mean, look, the Pistons won in 2005, 2006 with no top 20 player.
That's
it
right.
does happen, but it's an anomaly for the most part.
I'm agreeing with you. I think you are correct, which in turn leads me to ask the question, but my question mostly is, you said, the Knicks are not built for a championship, as are the Nets. Who is? Who is prepared to be built for a championship? Because if you're saying that Oklahoma City is prepared to be built for a championship, guess what? They're capped out.
Yes, but they're capped out with a top.
They're built for a championship. They're not adding anybody else. They're done.
No, I agree.
So
if I understand
you're Houston, because that makes a lot of sense. You have places to go. But once they get, say, if they get a Dwight Howard, they have $10 million to play with. Okay, they can play with that. And then they'll have a bench of Chandler Parsons
and ASIC.
Very little else?
No, they still have a bunch of young talent. I don't know what Golden State's cap space is.
They're capped out.
Are they?
Yep.
Well, they're extraordinary.
I guess that's what I'm saying. The majority of the teams in the NBA are capped out. Not luxury taxed out, but capped out. They cannot just go and grab a player. They have to fill a spot.
Well, the teams that people bring up, the other one that's broached is Atlanta. But Atlanta practically has nothing at this point. You know, they're everyone short of Horford and Teague.
Teague's a free agent, my friend.
Okay.
Short of Horford and Lou Williams.
So, you know,
Teague is a restricted free agent. Now, the way that Atlanta could come together, and we'll talk about this more as free agency comes about, which
is Paul and Howard combination?
Is Paul Howard and then Paul Howard and re-sign Josh Smith while they renounce Jeff Teague. Now, the problem with that is you have to renounce Teague before you sign the other guys. So if you can't get the other guys and you put all your eggs in that basket, you've lost probably your most promising young player. Because I don't really consider Horford all that young, although he probably should be.
No, he's a sixth year.
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting dilemma. And the interesting thing is, and we got a couple minutes till Dave Preston joins us. And feel free to call in 760-283-0846. We'll be talking hockey, a little bit of baseball, with Mr. Preston, who works for WTOP down in D.C. and also works for the Maryland Sports Network. So, man, this is like mana for the sky for Seth. I mean, he can ask anything he wants about the Harrison. Wait, oops, sorry. Well, we could talk a little bit about Andrew Wiggins, though.
Not really with Mike, but did you see the threats that he got after he signed with Kansas?
No. It's funny. We're switching topics. Andrew Wiggins, who is the number one rated high school player, committed yesterday to Kansas over Kentucky, Florida State, where his parents went, and North Carolina. And this is the son of Lloyd Wiggins, speaking of Houston Rockets,
Mitchell Wiggins and Lewis Lloyd.
Oh, Mitchell Wiggins. So it's Mitchell Wiggins' son.
Yeah.
In the late 80s, or mid 80s, when the Houston Rockets made it to the finals against the Celtics. Yes, 86 for 84.
There you go.
Maybe ball.
86.
Anyway, the fact of the matter is, he likes to be proclaimed as just his Twitter feed, I believe, says, "I'm just a normal guy." And I remember somebody on ESPN.com said, "Normal guys have like 300 followers on Twitter. Abnormal guys have 80,000 followers on Twitter." Wiggins is in the 80,000 range. He's not really a normal guy.
Hey, Sean.
Yeah.
How many fans do you have on Twitter?
Do I count myself and I? Because I think that's three.
There you go.
Yeah. I'm a normal guy.
I'm going to read some of the tweets to Wiggins after choosing this morning to go to the University of Kansas.
Okay.
Wiggins, die. I would like nothing more than a nice ACL tear for Wiggins. Torse tear is misspelled. I hope Andrew Wiggins tears both of his ACLs and then catches on fire. Hashtag not good enough for the ACC.
Wow.
People, get a life.
This kid,
and I'm not giving any. I'm not giving the names of these people because they don't even deserve that.
18 years old, and he made what most of us would consider a very hard decision. I mean, and Seth, tell me when Dave gets online so we can go to him. So
right.
He said he would call in around 7:30. But the fact is, this is a decision we all make. We don't make it for 80,000 people. We don't make it for 8 million people. We make it for ourselves. If Andrew Wiggins, I mean, we're all disappointed when players do not come to our school. I mean, I was disappointed when Nerlens Noel didn't come to Syracuse. Obviously, Seth was disappointed when the Harrison twins didn't go to Maryland. I know, you're crying. I get it. But at the same point, that's all you're doing. You're crying.
I somehow survived it.
College sports, people. That's all it is, college sports.
Well, here we go. And as opposed, did you hear about the Michigan State guy who the wideout recruit who has just reneged on his recruit, on his intention to attend Michigan State in favor of his rap career?
Huh?
Yeah, this guy has decided he is turning down a free education and a potential football career to be a rapper.
You know what? More power to him. If that's what he wants to do, why should we belittle his decision? Seriously.
I don't care. I just think it's pretty funny.
This is his. Right now, the choice is for me to be watching 23-16 Indiana with 11 minutes left in the second quarter.
So those two are pretty interesting. I guess, although because we don't talk about it very much, and we'll get off of it when Dave joins us. Did you see the Sergio Tin Cup moment at the Players Championship?
I watched absolutely no golf, so I have no idea what anybody was talking about other than Tiger won.
Tiger and Sergio Garcia, who stated their utter disdain for each other. And Sergio has just become a bitter guy in general, having won, you know, been the next big thing and never winning, I think, 8 titles in 12 years, never a major. They were tied, and he was at the 17th hole, and he put 2 in the water and ended up losing by 5 strokes. So it was a tin cup moment because instead of taking a drop, he took another shot from 200 yards back and missed it again. So
Did he get penalized because somebody called from at home, maybe Lindsey Vonn's significant other?
No, it was not. It was not responsible for Lindsey Vonn. And joining us on the show, Dave Preston from WTOP. How you doing, Dave?
Very good. How are you gentlemen doing this evening?
David, thanks for joining us. Really do appreciate the time.
Yes. Yes, got plenty of time. As instead of power plays, we're focused on putting for par down here in D.C.
Absolutely. So you're in tune with everything that goes on down in D.C. What happened to the lovely Capitals and Alex Ovechkin last night, or better yet, over the last week?
They were stymied by Mr. Lundqvist. Evidently, Lundqvist is Swedish for stops a lot of shots. Early and often. You can look at a lot of different things. I think the fact that they won game two, they won game five at home in overtime kind of masked the fact that maybe they were not as good a team as we perhaps thought. They did not lead in regulation, I think. After game one, they led, I think, for maybe 8 minutes of total game time in regulation after game one. I mean, obviously, they won those two overtime games, so they never technically led in those games. They led for 8 minutes in game three, and that was it. They scored not at all in games six and seven, and they basically have been the Capitals that we've grown to know and love over the last couple of years. They beat up against the Southeast Division. They went 15-3 against the Southeast, and they were under 500 against the rest of the NHL. And when you're playing against the likes of Carolina, Florida, of course, Winnipeg, we know, is in the Southeast as well, you're going to build up a gaudy regular season record and not be awesome in the postseason. It's akin to taking easier courses and not being as good a student, I guess.
Absolutely. Well, that brings me to my next question. So in the last couple of years, we've seen the Capitals replace the coach several times. They have kept their general manager, George McPhee, and they have kept their biggest couple of players, namely one Alex Ovechkin, who once drove by me at 150 miles an hour on Route 66 down in Virginia.
Is that miles or kilometers an hour? Because Russian, he does work with the metric system.
Well, how could you tell it was him if he was driving so fast?
No, I know.
Oh, he rolled down that window and flipped me off in that black Mercedes. No question about it.
Did he deserve it?
Absolutely. The question I have is this the time for, A, the Capitals to look for a new general manager and or to trade one Alex Ovechkin, especially in light of the new realignment where those beating up of those teams is not likely going to happen next year?
I think, one, you have to listen. I mean, he's got this huge albatross of a contract, so who would take him? Do you want to trade him and then wind up paying part of his salary so he can, in effect, win a cup for somebody else while you're signing checks for him? I don't know if you want to do that, but you have to at least be open to listen for him, see what you can get as far as players and packages. Well, the biggest difference between hockey and the other sports is that, you hate to use the old phrase, but it really does take a village to be competitive. Unlike baseball, where the pitcher begins every play, unlike football, where the quarterback has his hands on the football every single play, or basketball, where basically your best player, LeBron James, can let the offense run through him and be your best defensive player. Hockey, your best player is getting off the ice every 45 seconds. You need a full roster. You need four lines. You need three sets of defensemen. You need at least one solid goalie and another guy who can come in and fill in as well. Groups of players win cups as opposed to necessarily the best player. I don't remember, Brett Hull for years when he was in St. Louis. The best player wasn't able to get a cup because they couldn't build around him. Marcel Dion out in L.A., fantastic player. The Kings didn't build around him. And you'd hate to see Ovechkin go somewhere else and win a cup somewhere else, but if you can get the right players, if you can get the right amount of picks, that would be a good thing. Now, are you going to get that? Because, general managers in the NHL, granted there are some guys who aren't smart, but you're not going to fleece just about, anybody around the league. So I think you have to, obviously be conscious that maybe you should, you could get the right players for Ovechkin. George McPhee, I think, has this coaching regime to work with. And then if Oates doesn't work out, maybe you throw out the baby and the bathwater.
Fair enough. So going forward next year, they have a couple of younger players. Do you think Brandon Holtby is the right player to be between the pipes, or is there a change to be made there as well?
I think he's their best goalie under this current group of players. I think the fact that he gave up four goals twice and five goals once isn't necessarily indicative of how good or how bad he is. I early in that third period last night, that bad pass, he didn't make that bad pass. He was all alone after a very poor pass at mid-ice. Basically gave the Rangers the series-clinching goal right there. I think poor penalties hurt them in the their round against the Rangers. They had 76 penalty minutes. And so it's very tough when you're on your heels for 76 minutes. That's one out of every 6 minutes you're on the ice, basically, you're on your heels. And you can't be an effective goaltender when you're constantly facing the barrage of power play shots. And I think, eventually the Rangers wore him down last night. I think he's their best goaltender in the last 6 or 7 years of the guys that they've trotted out there, and you think he's still a young guy. He's better than the video guy they brought up from Hershey. I think they got to be confident with this guy. Obviously, you do have plan B if things don't go the way that you think they should, but I think he's the guy for the future, and they should build around him. They do need to get defensive help, though. They do need a couple of defensemen to kind of just to make things easier for him, because the Rangers were able to get a lot of good looks, and that was one difference in the series. It seemed like, you know, to throw it in the basketball term, that the Rangers were getting a lot of close-in shots. They were getting they were getting more layups and or tip-ins, and the Capitals were taking a lot of threes, a lot of jumpers. You don't stay productive with a lot of fall-away shots, and it seemed as though the Caps were settling for that during the series.
Well, that brings me up to my next question. You obviously had a very good vantage point of the Blue Shirts, and now in a original six matchup, the Bruins go up against the Rangers. A little preview, do you think that the Rangers have what it takes to go to the Eastern Conference Finals at this point?
I think so, because you've got Lundqvist. I think one of the best teams of all time that didn't win the Cup was the 71 Bruins. They were coming off their Stanley Cup championship. They had Orr, they had Esposito, they had Sanderson, they had a world of talent, and they ran into Ken Dryden, fresh from Cornell University. So, I mean, a hot goaltender is the great equalizer in this game. And because unlike an Alex Ovechkin, who's got to come off the ice every 45 seconds because that's how the way the game is played, this guy is on the ice for 60 minutes. And Lundqvist proved to be the best player on the ice time and time again in the series against the Capitals. He's in his rhythm, and there's no extended wait from the end of the Capitals series to the series with the Bruins, so I don't see any letdown for him or for them.
Well, it sounds similar to what happened last year when you had an 8 seed and the Kings being led by Jonathan Quick, getting hot at the right time and then blowing out the 1 seed, 2 seed, 3 seed, and then beating my Devils in 6. Well, it's all right. I was lucky enough to be at a bar with 40 Ranger fans for Game 6 when Adam Henrique scored the double overtime goal. That was enough.
Excellent.
So getting off of hockey, the Redskins, obviously coming off one of their most successful years of the past decade, the potential if RG3 comes back fully is unlimited, and yet they're back in hot water in regards to the potential mascot change. Daniel Snyder has stated that it will never happen. Is there a lot of support? What is the feeling in the D.C.? Is there support for a movement to get rid of the Redskins?
Yes, there is, but remember, the Washington Redskins are a team that practices in the state of Virginia and plays its games in the state of Maryland. So I don't know exactly what sort of reign the D.C. Council, which is probably not the best-run governmental body, just seeing Marion Barry and just some of the people who have come through over the years. It's really not the best advertisement for self-government, but yeah, they do their best. They do the best they can. And there's always going to be, when as opposed to Warriors or Seminoles or even Indians, if you have something like Redskins, it can be deemed as a slur, but you've got way too many people who live out in Virginia who wear those, half shirts at FedEx Field and just don't care and still think that Sonny and Sam are the greatest thing since sliced bread. So it's going to be a while before there's actual, I think, movement towards getting rid of the Redskins name.
As someone who had to listen for 10 years to Sonny and Sam, for all the Redskin fans out there, and I know there are a few, they're not the best thing since sliced bread.
No, I mean, well, so it depends on when you buy your sliced bread. I mean, 1985 sliced bread in the fridge for a while.
Well, one more question for you, Dave, and then we'll let you go. We very much appreciate you coming on. The Nationals, not the greatest thing since sliced bread this year. I mean, they're one game behind the Braves, not really being that all-time 100-win team that we all thought and loved. What's going on down there?
I think it's the case of market correction. Nobody is as good or as bad as they are, like their career average, so to speak. In baseball, you either overperform or you underperform. Very rarely do you see a guy. There was a guy for the Red Sox, Brian Daubach, who for whatever reason always managed to hit 22 to 25 home runs, 70 to 75 RBI. He'd get there every crazy way. He'd have a fast start one year, he'd have a slow start, but he was like Jerry, everything evens out, so to speak, on that Seinfeld episode. I think you've got guys like Adam LaRoche. Is he a 33 and 100 RBI guy? Probably not. So he's reverting back to Thorne. Gio Gonzalez, is he a 21-game winner? No, he's probably a 15-game winner. He's reverting back to form. You've got a bullpen that can be flammable at times. You've got Steven Strasburg, who hasn't had any run support at all, but when he has, he's not pitched well. He hasn't won since opening day. His only win this season came against the Miami Marlins, which I think is – I don't even want to call them the Miami Marlins because Miami is a major league city. I want to call them, like, the Boca Raton Blue Jackets or something silly to kind of reflect how ridiculous they've become. So I think it's just market correction. Are they going to bottom out and finish under 500 this year? Probably not. Did I think that they were going to win 100 games this year? Was I drinking the Nationals, you know, Kool-Aid? Definitely not. I think they have a good shot to win 90, 95 games, but a lot of things have to go right. Unlike football, where you've got 16
games. You're speaking to two guys that were drinking the Kool-Aid, because we both picked them first. So Seth and I were definitely drinking the Kool-Aid. One more question before you go. Bryce Harper, is this the new Pete Reiser? Does he know where the warning track is and how many steps until he hits that wall?
Was that the guy in the movie The Naked Gun who ran through the wall? I could be wrong. No. I think he's a kid who you'd like to – he's a kid you'd like to have on your team if you were the Capitals, just always charging out, running out every fly ball. He's a guy who's going to – as he gets to be over 20 years old, he's going to understand that, you know what, I don't have to do this, I don't have to do that. I don't have to slam the bat against the dugout wall and get cut in the head by splinters. He's a kid who, if he's on your team, you're happy to have him because he's going to give you absolutely everything. And he tweeted today, hey, I'm not going to take things easy when I get back. And that's exactly the type of player you need. And obviously, I'm sure the older guys are, you know, having fun with him and saying, hey, you know what, you can ease up just a little bit. You need to be a little bit more game smart. Don't confuse effort with activity. So... I think it'll be fun.
Dave, thanks so much for joining us, and hopefully you can come back during football season, and we could talk a little bit more Redskin football instead of mascots.
My pleasure, gentlemen.
Thanks again, Dave. Have a good one. So that was Dave Preston of WTOP and the Redskins network, as well as University of Maryland's network, and Westwood One Radio. So maybe we'll have him on a little bit in the fall where we can talk a little bit Maryland hoops. In the one season in the ACC with my beloved Orangemen, who Dave is an alumni of, so that will be an interesting perspective. And I know that he does he does play-by-play for the women's hoops for Maryland. So in case anybody has any inquiries, especially my beloved co-host, yes, I called you beloved. I don't know why.
Really?
I did that.
That's a little bit strange.
Yeah, I don't understand why I did that. Esteemed colleague is better. By the way, for those that are not watching, Indiana is up 35-26 with 5 minutes left in the first half. And we all know that there is a run in the Knicks. They will not score 50 in the game, but who knows when that run will be. But anyway, it was great having Dave on, and we'll try and get other radio personalities on throughout the summer, when it may be a little bit more of their off season, so they can concentrate a little bit more on us. Wow, that was pretty cool. Anyway, that being said, so talking a little bit more about the NHL, the Red Wings have come out of nowhere. And I don't know if you're following the series or the last series, Mr. Cadence. Were you following any of the Western Conference?
I know it was going on. I know the Redskins. The Redskins, excuse me.
The Redskins were still in OTAs.
Yeah, agreed. Schmuck. Am I allowed to say that on the air? I think I'm allowed to say that on the air.
No, you're not.
Well, it's my radio station. I can say what I want. I know they came back from, I think it was 3-2 down to beat Anaheim. And in a year where you were supposedly having a down year for the team that's been probably the most consistent team in team sports over the last 15, 20 years, it's a pretty impressive performance. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it really was. I think they definitely came to play, and everybody had them for dead. And look at what they did. I mean, they really turned the corner and played well.
Well, what are your thoughts on them going up against the vaunted Blackhawks?
Well, I believe I had the Blackhawks in the finals, and I will stay with the Blackhawks in the finals. So I think that they will win probably 4-2. I'm doing pretty well in this year's playoffs, both NBA and hockey.
Well, I think we all are.
What's that?
I think we both are. It wasn't like there were too many stunning upsets.
I did have Golden State. Did I have Memphis? I don't even remember. No, I think that's the Clippers. You're right.
Yeah, you had Golden State. I had Memphis. So we were both 7-1. And I'd have to go back and listen to our NHL ones.
So here's my question for you. You watched the Islanders against Pittsburgh, and we never got to touch on this. What were your thoughts?
I saw the overtime, or just a couple minutes of it. I was actually at a fundraiser and having taken my mom out for Mother's Day.
Aw, cheer!
Are you done?
I'm done. Wah, wah.
There you go. Okay, we can't do four wah-wahs on the show. That's just bad.
That was my first. You had the other three.
Yeah, well. They're young. They were enthusiastic. And as you said very intuitively in the beginning of the season, that in a 50-game season, you know, there are going to be some surprises. And that they stayed so competitive with Pittsburgh was a surprise. That pretty much they knocked Fleury out of the playoffs. Now we have Thomas Vokoun starting game one. It was a bit of a shock. I am surprised, maybe because I didn't follow the Islanders regular season, that as good as Tavares is, I'm genuinely surprised that he's in for the MVP along with Crosby and I want to say Ovechkin. You follow it more than I do. What were your thoughts?
Tavares is fantastic. I mean,
right, I understand that.
He is fantastic, and he really shows you what one play. I mean, we talk about LeBron James, and I'm not saying he's LeBron James by any stretch of the imagination, but we were talking before how you need a legitimate number two. And while Dave Preston said it correctly, you need a village. You also need leaders of that village, guys that will step up and be those one and two, and I think that's where the Islanders are definitely lacking right now. They have a bona fide number one. But if you look at Pittsburgh, it wasn't Crosby so much that won the series for them. It was more Malkin and Pascal Pouliot, who has scored in 9 straight games against the Islanders, which makes no sense to me. Why can't we just put him on his butt? But the fact of the matter is the Islanders look good, and they look like a young and up-and-coming team where I wouldn't be the least bit surprised next year if they take a step back and they don't make the playoffs. Because that's generally what happens. You get too big for your britches, you come back a little bit, and then you take that giant leap. And we've all seen that with many teams, especially many young teams, such as like the Pistons. I mean, you can go into any one of a number of sports where this has happened. I think that the Islanders are a good young team. I think they have now invested in that team to the point that they have spent the money to keep these players. And they're looking forward to coming to Brooklyn in 2 years, and I'm looking forward to having season tickets. By the way, yeah. Most Islander games are played on Tuesdays, so we're going to have to change the show.
Okay. I'll talk with the boss and see what
advance
we can do.
Advance notice. 2014-2015, we're going to have to change.
Wow. I don't know what I'm going to be doing next week. Well, actually.
Yes, you do.
Yes, I do.
You will be at this point next week. I believe that Mr. Kamens will be packing, because unlike myself, he will not be packed by Sunday for our trip to Cancun.
No, and he will not be. He will be packed on probably Thursday morning, 2 a.m.
Something. Oh, no. You will be packed before Tuesday morning.
For those of you who are my clients and listening, please understand that I am only disorganized in my packing life, my professional life extraordinary. So,
well, that brings us to a programming note. 2 weeks from today, there will be a substitute for us. I'm not exactly sure who that will be, but we will be swapping days with one of the other Back Sports Page announcing crew. Hopefully we'll get maybe on that Thursday we can do this. Due to the fact that we will both be in Cancun, and it will be warm, and we will not be thinking about this at all. Actually, we'll be on a plane coming home, but it's the thought that counts.
Somewhat. 4 minutes to go. What do you got for us?
No. You go first. How about?
All right. As I said, there are very few things more exciting than Game 7s. And even Boston Toronto is a grand example of it. However, that was actually not the most exciting ending to a game in the last week. And we've talked a little bit about EPL and what happened.
Here we go again.
No, this was pretty awesome. The team and how teams get relegated and teams get brought up, and two teams that were playing for the right to move up to the major league. One team had Leicester City and Watford. Leicester City had a penalty kick in the 95th minute to win the game and to move into a playoff to get to the championship, to get to the top league. The goalie makes two saves on the penalty kick, clears it, and then the team goes 90 yards in the other direction and scores a goal on the last kick of the game for them to win. And the stadium gets mobbed, and it is one of the most insane endings to a game you'll ever see. Highly advise finding it on YouTube or on Yahoo. It's the announcers become speechless. It's pretty amazing. So I wanted to give that credit to that and to Wigan for winning their first award ever, beating Man City in the FA Cup final and then promptly being relegated down to the second tier.
Yeah, I don't really understand that. Again, how do you win and then go down to the minors? How does that work?
Well, because the FA Cup is for every team in every division in England. So there's 768 teams. And that has nothing to do with the league.
This is why EPL is all sorts of messed up. Anyway, that's just me. All right, Indiana 41, Knicks 32 with 2 minutes left in the first half. Mine is a little bit more, touching, I guess. So Haley Savage, has spina bifida, a birth defect in her spine, and used a wheelchair to get around. For the past 3 weeks, she's been in the Children's Center in Bethany, Oklahoma, because of a leg infection, and probably will be there for a couple more weeks. So she's going to miss her high school prom. The center where she's at actually puts on a prom themselves. Haley is a huge Oklahoma Sooners fan. So she heard a rumor that she's a huge University of Oklahoma fan. Oklahoma football players were going to stop by, but she didn't know until she was waiting to enter the dance that offensive lineman Bronson Irwin will be her date. So not only did Bronson Irwin show up, he escorted her down the red carpet in her wheelchair, and a few dances later, other linemen Gabe Ickard and John Philip Hughes joined Haley and Irwin to show her how to do the twist. This is where, to me, college athletes don't get enough credit. These are the stories that should be heard and yet are confused with all the negativity that goes along with that. So a big shout-out to the University of Oklahoma linemen. You guys are big. You guys are doofy sometimes, but you certainly put up and made Haley's Savage's night. I said doofy.
What is doofy?
I don't really know. I think it's between goofy and doofus.
Fair enough. For Sean Palmer, Seth Kamens, backsportspage.com. Have a good night, everybody.
See ya.